Welcome to the God is the Issue podcast with Brad Bright. I'm your host, Jim Brangenberg. Think about it. Our view of God determines what we think on all moral, cultural, and economic issues. It even determines how we vote. Hope for the future of our country and our world lies in our ability to make God the issue in every issue. PG-13 warning here. Today, we're going to be talking in part two of God Did Not Say Oops. We're talking about God, science, transgenderism, and blackface. There's going to be some content that may cause some young people to need further explanation, so make sure that you're sitting by them as they listen to the show. Brad Bright, welcome back.
Good to be back, Jim.
You know, Brad, we ended the last week's conversation, this is how you ended it, with a powerful statement. Can you repeat how you ended last week's show?
No, I can't. How did I end last week's
show? Well, here's what you did. You said the first step in correcting a problem is that you have to be honest about the problem.
That's right. You have to be honest about the problem, and that a trans person's problem is not in their pants. It's in their head. It's not that they're mentally disturbed. It's that they're mentally broken. And I asked the question, you know, why is there so much confusion on this issue? Why would a person deny both science and God? Why would they confuse the symptom with the cause? Why? That's the critical question of why would they do this?
It's a great question. I assume you've got the answer.
Well, I think I have an answer, and I do think it is the answer. Yeah. You see, I think there is a core assumption here behind the transgender aberration, if you want to call it that. And the assumption is that, one, God is not the authority. Two, science is not the authority. But three, my experience is the authority. My experiences, my desires, my perception of reality determines what is true. That is what the term my truth means. And if my truth is ultimate reality, then the facts really don't matter. So welcome to postmodernism, where science and God are demoted, and I become both science and God unto myself.
All right, so you're saying opinion equals truth for postmodernists.
Oh, yeah. Once you remove God as a basis of truth, this is bound to happen. I mean, you look at the Old Testament, Jim. I mean, when the Israelites abandoned God, what did the scriptures say? They said, every man did what was right in his own eyes. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. And today we call that my truth. Only the terminology has changed.
So I guess postmodernism isn't that modern at all. It's been around for thousands of years already.
Been around a long, long time. It's a bit of a misnomer to call it postmodernism, because we're just going back to where we were thousands of years ago. But here's the core choice we all face. You know, either my experiences will determine how I see God and God's creation, read science there, or my view of God will determine how I see myself and creation. Now, when it comes to transgenders, their experience is the source of all truth. Therefore, their experiences determine how they see God, and therefore, their experiences determine how they see the created order, the created world. The watershed issue is, who or what determines what is real? In postmodernism, understand this, and it's important to understand it. The debate is not God versus science. The debate is God and science versus me. And transgenders say, me.
But what you're saying is that it goes well beyond the transgender issue here, and it touches in every area of your life today. People are saying, it doesn't really matter about God or science. It's all about what I think. I mean, that's where we're at today in today's society.
That is exactly where we're at. That's the context of the whole transgender ideology. You know, the reason that the mobs on campus try to shut down and silence free speech rather than engaging in argument is because in postmodern culture, it's where the individual determines their own truth, and therefore reason really is irrelevant. The only thing that really matters are my experiences. That's why narrative is so powerful in our culture. Narrative shapes our experiences into understandable patterns, and facts don't. Jim, this is the logical result of canceling God from culture and education. If God is irrelevant, then there is no greater moral authority in the universe than me. Once God was canceled, it was only a matter of time till even science was canceled, as we see in the trans ideology today, because the scientific method is really predicated on the assumption that there's order and reason in the universe, because the creator of the universe, this being that we call God, himself embodies order and reason, and so he created order and reason in his creation.
So you're saying this whole conversation is because we canceled God, especially from education?
Yes. That's exactly what's going on here. Canceling God in culture, and especially in education, is the primary cause of all this widespread lying, cheating, stealing, gun violence, and gender dysphoria. I mean, there's no longer any perceived moral accountability in the universe. All that's left really is survival of the fittest, which makes it all about me. I want to survive.
We're going to be back with lots more of this conversation. And, of course, closing this out with how to make God the issue in this issue with a solid conclusion, as we've been learning about God, science, transgenderism, and blackface. You're listening to the God is the Issue podcast. We'll be right back.
Want to know more about how you can make God the issue in every issue? Get your copy of Brad's book, God is the Issue. Now in its third edition, you can get your ebook copy at brightmedia.org. Even better, if you subscribe to this podcast, you'll receive a coupon for one free download of God is the Issue ebook. Go to brightmedia.org, that's brightmedia.org, and get God is the Issue ebook today.
Hey, welcome back to the God is the Issue podcast with Brad Bright, as we're talking about God, science, transgenderism, and blackface. And we're making God the issue in every issue. Brad, you ended our last segment saying, canceling God in education is the primary cause of lying, cheating, stealing, gun violence, and gender dysphoria. Can you explain?
Yep. Well, it is. And let's jump back into that. And I was even talking about, you know, the mobs on campus and then things you never see. You know, most of the students in these mobs, so to speak, are largely incapable of rational argument. This relates to what we're talking about. Quite literally, their thought processes are controlled by their brain stems, which is the seat of emotion, rather than by their frontal lobes, which is the seat of logic and reasoning. So feelings, not logic, control their brain processes. Now, I don't mean this metaphorically. I mean this in a very literal sense. I mean, think Antifa. Think about the violent riots across America during the summer during COVID. Think about the mobs who really shout down and threaten speakers and professors at college campuses. And here's who I really want you to think about. Think about a three-year-old child. A three-year-old will throw a temper tantrum in order to get their way. In order to understand the mob, you must see them as three-year-olds in grown-up bodies. Once you do that, their behavior makes perfect sense. For a three-year-old, their experiences are their reality. Now, here's where the problem comes. When conflict happens, what happens? When you have 2 3-year-olds who want the same toy, they both want to play with the same toy, what happens? They fight for the toy until one person wins and one person loses. That is how the mob sees the world. It's not about being right. It's about what I want, because in their world, what I want is always morally right because it is my truth. And if you disagree, you are morally in the wrong. That is why free speech is bad and censorship is good. This is the context for the entire transgender cultural aberration. We are dealing with a bunch of three-year-olds who are largely incapable of rational thought. Welcome to the world of postmodernism.
Okay, I got to ask a side question here. So are you saying that because people are operating from their feelings instead of their logic, is that the way we are teaching them today? In the old days, we used to teach people from a logical sense versus a feeling sense? Is that what has shifted?
Yeah, what a fundamental question in culture has changed. We used to ask years ago, what do you think about that? But that's not the question we ask anymore. The question we ask is, how does that make you feel? That one switch in question has changed an entire culture. But that's representative of what has happened in education. It's no longer about what is true, about what you think, about the getting you to think through things logically. It's about what you feel. And that's where the shift has come.
Okay. So we got a bunch of three-year-olds running our world and running around the world. So what should or can the average person do? You can't send them to their room for a timeout. Well, you could try. But what do you do? What should I do? Brad, this seems hopeless.
Well, it's not hopeless. But it's hard. Let's admit, it is hard. But it's not hopeless. But here's where I recommend everybody start. And it's to do a self-check. First, determine that you're going to be more like Jesus. And what I mean by that is that you're going to love more and tolerate less. Did you catch that? Be like Jesus, love more, tolerate less.
Love more, tolerate less. That's a pretty good description of Jesus. He loved deeply everyone around him. He forgave lavishly, but he did not mince words when it came to God's view of sin. He told people, now leave your life of sin.
Exactly. I mean, like he said to the woman at the well, your sins are forgiven. Now go and sin no more. It wasn't tolerance. It was forgiveness. I mean, we start by extending forgiveness, right? Because we, and just on a practical level, because we're a culture drowning in guilt and shame, in dire need of being forgiven. The average person out there is entrenched in guilt and shame. It's why we have all these drugs and everything else to try to drown the pain and the guilt inside. But in order to do that means you have to be honest. You can't say that God is okay with their sin because God is not tolerant, but he does forgive. Now, what this also means, though, is you have to invite people into real relationship just like Jesus did. That's going to be critical in the process of bringing healing to this culture. Gentlemen, here's the question for you. Why do people resort to violence?
Martha taught me.
What do you think?
Martha taught me a lesson 20-some years ago. Hurting people hurt people.
That's exactly right. Hurting people hurt people. People resort to violence because they are hurting. You know, no psychologist is ever going to be able to take away their pain. Only God can do that. That's why we have to extend relationship as the arms of God on earth in the hope that we can be a bridge to God himself who forgives.
That can be a little hard to do with someone who's angry with you or basically says, I hate you.
Yep. Yeah, notice that God never said loving your neighbor was going to be easy. Jesus never even once, he didn't imply that. In fact, he raised this bar a little bit. He said, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Do you think those words are pertinent today? But then he modeled what he meant, didn't he? He modeled on the cross what that looks like. Now, we have to be honest with ourselves. I have to be honest with myself. I'm incapable of loving as Jesus loved, unless I allow the Spirit of God to live through me. And that's the key, is allowing the Spirit of God to love through us. We can't do it in our own strength.
And I need you to tie a little bow on that in our last segment, Brad, as we've been talking about God and science and transgenderism, and you haven't gotten to the blackface thing yet, so I'm wondering where that's going to come in. But the whole idea of loving the people who basically accuse us of being haters just because we recognize that we're men or women. What a conversation. You're listening to the God is the Issue podcast with Brad Bright. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Brad Bright travels the country speaking and training people how to make God the issue in every issue. Go to brightmedia.org. That's brightmedia.org to find out how you can bring Brad's highly interactive workshop to your area. It's fun, engaging, and most important, it will help make you more effective in making God the issue in every issue. Go to brightmedia.org, that's brightmedia.org, and schedule Brad today.
Welcome back to God is Issue podcast with Brad Bright. Brad, you said right before the break, God never said loving your neighbor would be easy. In fact, he said, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. And then he modeled that on the cross, what that whole thing looks like. And then you finally went on to say, we're incapable of loving as Jesus loved. So that doesn't seem very nice. Okay, you say we need to love like God said we should love, but you know, unless we have the Spirit of God living in us. That's what you said, all of that stuff. All right. What are you, how are you saying, where are you saying we can apply all this Sermon on the Mount stuff that Jesus said about loving our neighbors and praying for those who persecute us?
Well, there's really a practical application here. You know, as I said, you know, we need to be more like Jesus, love more, tolerate less. Well, how did Jesus do this? He did it by reframing the conversation. He did it all the time. So if Jesus did it, that's what we need to start doing as well. And how did he reframe the conversation? He made God the issue.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to make the conversation about what God thinks, not about what I think, not about what you think, because God's the authority, not me, not you. So when someone talks about gender-affirming care, simply respond by saying, do you really think that God would call castrating a minor gender-affirming? Again, make it about God's opinion, not about their opinion, not about my opinion, about God's opinion. They may come up with some weird answers, but we're getting the conversation to the right context. When they say a child should have sex change surgery, should be able to respond, do you really think God says, oops, I got that gender wrong? You really think God says oops? Or when they say, you know, trans women should be able to choose the locker room they want to use, even if that's with your 14-year-old daughter, you just respond, could you explain to God that it's loving to force a 14-year-old girl to see a male penis while she's getting changed in the girl's locker room? Can you explain how that's to the God, how that's loving? Again, the point here, though, is make it about what God thinks, not about what you think. You're not the authority. I'm not the authority. God is.
Yeah, I found out a long time ago, Brad, that most people don't care what I think. But most Americans still care what God thinks, certainly in a time of crisis. And it appears that we are in a time of crisis.
We are, and that's the point. But let me say here, we're not refinished framing the issue yet. In our current culture, there is a powerful emotive comparison you can make. And I encourage you to take this final step, especially if you're a woman. However, I do have to warn you ahead of time, it is a red line in the sand. So when you use it, use a calm, reasonable voice. Keep your voice down. And so here we go. Are you ready? Start by saying, you know, trans is the new blackface. Any white person who wears blackface is a racist. And people go, yeah, it is. And then here's where you start to close the deal. You say, likewise, any male who dresses up like a female is a misogynist who demeans all women. In fact, anyone who defends a man who pretends they are a woman is a misogynist, because womanhood is not a mental disorder. It is God-ordained, scientifically verified, and an intrinsic genetic trait, just like ethnicity. And by the way, God does not say oops when he created women as women and men as men. But say it calmly as you can.
Yeah, that's very important. That's pretty strong language, Brad, but very powerful.
It is very strong language, and I'm sorry that we even have to use it, but we needed to start drawing a clear red line in the sand on this. So here's the point. Whenever the transgender issue comes up, first, talk about how it affects minors, especially young girls. I mean, that pulls at the heartstrings. That gets people's attention. Secondly, compare it to blackface. No one in this culture, except only real jerks that are out there, no one in this culture is going to say blackface is okay, because we all know it offends our black brothers and sisters. Thirdly, call it what it is. It's a form of misogyny. In our culture, those are three powerful emotive arguments. That is, how it affects minors, compared to blackface, call it misogyny. You know, this generation could really care less about logical arguments. But this generation is stopped in its tracks by powerful emotive arguments. Use them, but use them with a calm voice, and always end by making God the issue. God never says oops.
And you may need to listen to this podcast twice so you can get all that stuff memorized and take it down. Thanks for joining us today on the God is the Issue podcast. Brad, phenomenal conversation. I hope that the last 2 weeks really is an inspiration to people on how they can just help understand all this. Thanks, Brad, for putting it all together.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it.
And to you, our listener, I hope the last 2 weeks of conversation about God and science, transgenderism, and blackface have helped you see a way to frame the conversations you have with those who don't think like you. Remember to check us out online at brightmedia.org. And remember, when having any conversation, especially about transgenderism, always be kind, be compassionate, use a calm voice, and be shrewd while making God the issue in every issue.